Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody, to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian.
I'm Luke.
That's awesome.
And we are broadcasting live today out of the Solidarity Realty Studios here in Madison, Wisconsin, on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM, as well as on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Happy Thursday to you, Brian.
Happy Wednesday, and it is Groundhog Day.
I literally threw the joke out.
That's okay. You didn't throw the joke out. It's the same thing. I had to explain the whole story of how I called every day but actual Thursday last week. And then when it Thursday happened, I called it Wednesday.
I'm so mad at myself.
It's okay. It's par for the course today. We are here on Groundhog Day, the day after. The carnage left over from Groundhog Day, the wars between all of the muskrats and the woodchucks.
All the tiny little rodents.
Either way, who cares? Yeah, we're moving on.
We are.
Because there's so many things. We started off thinking about, we're just going to talk about some idiot in Green Town.
Greenfield. I don't even know if yesterday, because we were joined by Daryl, we didn't really share the update about the Glendale one.
Yeah, Glen Green. It wasn't
Glen
there.
Green, that one.
Yeah, Glen Green, yeah. Green Glen. Whatever.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later on, because, again, while we were preparing in between that happening and now, a whole bunch of information has come out, so we're going to start right there. By the way, Wisconsin has often been used as a bellwether, as it were.
Maybe a little bit of a testing ground.
Maybe a little of a petri dish.
Yeah,
you know? Because,
petri dish.
Say what you will, there was proof of how—say what you will about how heavy it was— The Russians did try to influence, like they always do, the election in 2016, all right? They had a line, and they got one into Trump. Trump was looking to build they already have a line into Trump. However you want to see it, that they did have a line into Trump.
Yes.
And they did have people doing it there. But they also had lines into other candidates as well via Maria Butina. You can look that up. I'm not going to go into the details.
Scott Walker's friend.
They were looking at Scott Walker because at the time Scott Walker was considered a viable candidate. But anyway, they still looked into him because
all 73 days worth of that viable campaign.
Yeah, the Black Widows tried to get in there and basically make sure they covered all their bases. So whoever won the Republican nomination probably had some sort of connection or tie, or at least a Maria Butina type to go and lead them back to the Russian way.
Right, at least accepted some of the Russian money funneled through the NRA.
Yeah, again, that...
Look it up. There's a lot of details there.
These are actual things that are proven.
Yes.
I'm not saying that these were the direct things, and I'm not saying that this is the direct reason why people won or lost.
Right.
I'm just telling you facts so we can get to the point of what we're getting to now. Because they used... not internationally as well as here, Wisconsin is looked at as a petri dish, as a... as a testing ground for a lot of different policy.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what Walker did with Act 10 and et cetera in a lot of his policies.
The unions and also the lame duck that occurred after Walker was out, just refusing to accept the outcome of an election in 2018 and just failing to actually do the state Senate's job of confirming Evers' appointees, because as governor, that's his role, is to appoint individuals to boards like the Natural Resources Board, the UW Board of Regents, to be able to make policy decisions. And the state Senate just says, no.
The point is, there's a lot of parallels between Wisconsin and our national politics at large. So that keeping that in mind, we just found out some stuff about Jim Troupas.
Yeah.
Would you enlighten everybody about Jim Troupas?
Yeah, so Jim was previously a Dane County Circuit Court judge, I believe.
Oh, very good.
Previously what he was. He stepped down from that position for hopes of getting appointed to the state Supreme Court by Walker. That didn't happen. So Jim Troupas was the lawyer for the Trump campaign. I believe recruited by Rudy Giuliani on behalf of the Trump campaign.
Giuliani had some fun stories.
So Giuliani was his connection to the Trump campaign. But Jim Troupis was, I have no idea if I'm saying his name correctly, incorrectly.
Troupis. Either way, not gonna work here anymore anyway.
Yeah. So he was the individual that was tasked by the Trump campaign to oversee the recount efforts here in the state of Wisconsin for Dane and Milwaukee counties. Because if you recall, Wisconsin in 2018 had such a, or excuse me, in 2016 had such a slim margin that a recount could have been possible between Hillary and Trump, had Hillary requested it. And so Republicans actually changed election laws after that as well, so that you couldn't do that anymore. You had to have an even slimmer margin to be able to call for a recount, which was actually quite funny because Walker was just outside of that slim margin in 2018 and couldn't demand a recount unless he wanted to pay for it in 2018 when he lost to now Governor Tony Evers. And so in Wisconsin, you now have to pay for the recount. It's not an automatic recount. And so Trump was still outside of this automatic recount, and they let him know that if he wanted to have the votes recounted here in our state, that he would have to pay for it. And he had to pay for it up front. So this was a whole contention in November of 2020.
Yeah, I remember this.
And at the time, Trump was, he started fundraising off of it, and it was a whole effort. And then they got the price estimate, and it was, again, in the midst of a pandemic, so you had to make sure that you had this safety and the security of the election ballots and the protocols around COVID. And so there was a pretty big hefty price tag to recount the entire state. So rather than do that, Trump and his attorney, Jim Troupis, decided to oversee recounts in Dane and Milwaukee counties, the Democratic strongholds. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they actually found more ballots or more votes were recovered and confirmed for Joe Biden, not the other way around. And so Troupis was overseeing the recount, but the same day he filed the paperwork, Brian, for the recount efforts here in Wisconsin, he also received a memo from other individuals on Trump's legal team.
Kenneth Cheesebro.
Kind of interesting that Kenneth wasn't his lawyer.
Chesebro.
Yeah, it's not a double E where you normally see
Kenneth
it. Chesebro. I don't know.
Chesebro.
So Kenneth sent Jim a memo outlining the specific steps that they could throw the election results into contention here in the state of Wisconsin.
Now, I'm going to read briefly from the Journal Sentinel.
So you
have exactly, this is from Molly Beck's reporting. And again, this is quoting from the memo itself. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The title is Wisconsin Attorney for Trump Campaign, one of first known to learn a fake elector strategy. Memo shows, again, Molly Beck and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Reading along, it outlined Cheesebro's legal analysis backing up his suggestion during a conference call with Troupis that, quote, in any judicial review of the canvassing recounting in Wisconsin, we should emphasize that the presidential election timetable affords ample time for judicial proceedings, even if initial errors in the recount require remand for further recounting. Cheesebro told Troupis that January 6th should be considered the real deadline to resolve Wisconsin's presidential contest, not December 8th, a so-called safe harbor deadline under the Electoral Count Act that Wisconsin missed, or December 14th when electors met in Wisconsin State Capitol to confirm Joe Biden's victory. Quote, again, assuming the electors pledged to Trump and Pence end up meeting at the Wisconsin Capitol on December 14th to cast their votes and then send their votes to the president of the Senate in time to be open on January 6th, a court decision, or perhaps a state legislative determination, rendered after December 14th in favor of the Trump-Pence slate of electors should be considered timely, Cheesebro wrote to Troupis.
So the first indication of a false electorate that happened in seven states. Again, the seven states that Trump thought that he deserved to win but lost. Again, leading to the same outcome that he received in the Electoral College in 2016, I believe, 306 to 230, I believe, of 232.
It was the same roughly thing that he said.
He claimed was a landslide, is the reverse but end of it.
On the other way, it was just...
Exactly. So he wanted to throw into contention the seven states that he thought he could win in by putting in and installing a fraudulent slate of electors. And it seems like Wisconsin may have been the first state where this got proposed. And so Tropas pretty much was going under the legal advice of Chesbrough, whatever it is.
What, did Fitzgerald get the phone call? Hey, it's Chesbrough. Oh, Chesbrough, what's up? It's Fitzy. Oh, yeah, you need me to get you a room for your false electors? All right, bro.
Something along those lines pretty must much have happened, because the then state Senate Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald, as you indicated, reserved that room so that per the legal advice received by Tropas, Tropas received the legal advice
from
to put this forward. From
Chesbrough,
to meet on December 14th in the Wisconsin State Capitol and put forth a fraudulent slate of electors.
Real good.
So, Brian, I think we found the election fraud that everybody's been crying about.
We've been talking
for
about
2020.
It. Again, we've been talking about it. Again, this is the trend-setting show here, I'd say. We mentioned the Whitefish
people
Bay
say,
guy.
Not just you. It's
people have said. People have said. I think it was you, but either way, people have said. That, you know, we talked about the guy in Whitefish Bay who talked about, you know, African shanty towns, and the next day he resigned. It was totally us. You know, the sun rose today, thought about it yesterday, and it rose today.
And it happened.
Totally us.
So people are just listening to this great show, and you can listen to this great show and give us a call, 844-967-2789. We got a number of other headlines, Brian, but...
Guess what?
What?
So that was a conspiracy type of thing. We're gonna go pretty far down a rabbit hole here.
Well, again, so this
is not gonna help anybody's thought of what is true and what is real.
Yeah, we've got some deep fake stories here in the news. We've also got something a little bit farther down in this timeline that Chesbrough and Tropas were discussing in November of 2020, all the way to January 4th, a couple days before January 6th. So. We got a number of things that we're going to dive into on this great show. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the show, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We are taking your calls, your texts, and your tangents, because this is Dueling Tangents. But Brian, it sounds like they were plotting to break the law in Wisconsin and maybe six other states. So I'm curious to know...
On purpose.
If everybody that was wrapped up in the Wisconsin effort, are they... accomplices in the other six states that did this too?
I don't know, but they had a problem with their own election. Way to go, Fitzgerald.
Way to go. We'll be right back.